Hi, my name is Alex Donaldson, and I will be conducting this interview today on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 27th of September 2009. If you could please state your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
Ilana Lucas, and I think I'm about 58, 57? Yeah, 57 turning 58, and I live in London.
And how are you doing this morning?
I'm absolutely fine.
Can I just ask you how you initially heard about the project?
When I filled in the forms this morning, there was the same question. I can't actually remember. But because I go to arts events, I get all sorts of things on the internet from different arts companies. It's probably from there. I have no real recollection.
What was it about the project that made you want to get involved?
The honest truth, it was a real whim. I thought, oh, that's for me. And I just did it. I didn't really think until I got a spot. But the mere fact that it's Anthony Gormley, and I love his stuff, and I loved the one from the Hayward Gallery. We could see all the figures all over London, and I just thought to myself, I'll be another one of his figures. That's really what prompted me, that final exhibition that I saw.
You said you were interested in the arts. Can you elaborate what particular arts, contemporary art? Do you go to a lot of exhibitions?
I go to as much as possible, anything and everything. I try to vary it. Just went to the Serpentine, saw the wonderful Jeff Koons and the Japanese guys, the architect's structure outside is simply wonderful. I have a friend who an artist who gets invited to openings. She gives me all her, invitations. I get to go to openings. I do evening classes. History of art evening classes. So just generally love it. London is just full of wonderful, wonderful stuff to see.
Do you actually create art yourself at all?
No. I dabble every now and again, but nothing serious.
What are your thoughts on this project so far, the kind of nature, the progression of it since the beginning?
Well, I thought the initial idea was wonderful, just sort of giving art to the people and letting them run with it, because Anthony Gormley himself has been conspicuous by his absence during this whole thing, which is good, because the minute he makes a comment, people take note and readjust. So he's brought democracy to the people. The only flaw in that is that the sort of people had applied to go to, a lot of people that are artists, studying art teachers. That's the only sort of flaw. Otherwise, it's completely random. What else? I've watched all sorts of people on the plinth, and it's made me realize that not everybody is talented, and that there is a space for an ordinary human being to get up and say and do what they want or do nothing, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Could you talk a little bit about what you do for a living, your interests?
Right, it's very different. I am a secondary school librarian in a very, very good London school, state school. And I've been at that particular school for 15 years. Am I allowed to say which school?
Absolutely.
The Henrietta Barnett School in North London. And I thoroughly enjoy it.
Do you have a particular passion for books?
I do, and that is originally what I intended to do up there, is to try and get across my passion for books. But the more I watched, the more I realised that just speaking up there is quite boring. And then I suddenly realised 27th of September, there's a grand event taking place in Trafalgar Square, a noisy event, and I realized I would not be heard even if I had a microphone and speakers. So I rethought completely. So I'm going to do something completely visual.
Could you talk me through your hour?
So when I decided I was going to do something visual, I came down to Trafalgar Square, lucky enough to be able to do that, and I had a look, and it was a bit of a miserable day, and everything is drab. The concrete, everything is grey, the people seem to be dressed quite drably, and my initial thought was, I'm going to brighten Trafalgar Square up. What would brighten up? Something luminous. Pink. Pink lycra. Big pink lycra ball. Now, how on earth do I do that? So I went on the internet, looked for somebody who made things like that, found somebody who lives quite near me, put my concept across to her, and she said, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about, and off she went to do it. I thought, oh no, I've got a big pink lycra ball with a hole in the top. What do I do now? I had thought. So my intention is that things will come out the top. There's absolutely nothing, no meaning behind it, just pure visual enjoyment and brightening Trafalgar Square. At the same time, I will be representing the breast cancer campaign and encouraging people to participate in the walks, the marathons, and all the interesting things that they do.
Breast cancer, is there any particular affiliation there, or is it just something that you support?
There's always an affiliation. My mother-in-law died at the age of 52, so she was in her 40s when she got breast cancer, and a close friend has had breast cancer, and it just makes you aware of how close it is to you. So that's really what prompted me. I do some walks. Don't do marathons, but I do breast cancer walks.
Sure. Okay. So what are your hopes, fears, expectations for your time on the plinth?
My main hope is that it works and that it is visually enjoyable. My other hope is that I enjoy it. My fears are all gone now that I'm here. I was nervous, but I'm not nervous anymore. I don't have any fear anymore.
And do you think this experience will have any kind of effect on you?
In the long term, not really. No, I don't think it'll. I'll just be able to say, I did it, I was there. Other than that, not really.
Are you wanting to also engage with people whilst on the plinth, or do you want to be purely kind of visual?
No, I want to engage with people online. So I will be using the microphone to talk to people while I'm inside or while I'm setting up. I will say hello to friends, and I will remind people about breast cancer and checking themselves, females and males.
Could you talk a little bit about kind of where you were born, where you grew up?
I was born in South Africa, as you can hear. I grew up in the lovely city of Durban. And at the age of 21, I went to live on a kibbutz in Israel. I lived there for 17 years. I loved it. I have no regrets. And for a lot of reasons, my husband and I decided to leave. We left the country and we came to live here. My husband is a British citizen, so it was no problem. And I absolutely adore living in London. I think I'm one of the luckiest people. I never look back. I enjoy London. And even though I've been here for 21 years, I still behave like a tourist often, especially now that my children are big. I'm up and out on a Sunday morning, around this area, visiting a gallery, doing something interesting. That's really the short of it.
So how would you describe your relationship with London, with the city?
Well, I suppose symbiotic. I give to it, it gives to me. I've never really considered myself as having a relationship with London, but I suppose in a way I do. I get a lot out of it, and by working hard and going and doing and participating, I suppose I give back to it in a way that gives back to me.
Can I ask you a little bit about your South African heritage?
You can ask, but after so many years of being away, I don't actually feel South African. I don't feel Israeli and I don't feel English, which is really what I want to be, because so much has happened in the name of nationalism that I just call myself a European. Some of my friends laugh at me, but I'm a European. I don't like these affiliations. If we start getting technical and you say, if such and such a country went to war, who would you support? Well, I've got some, you know, thinking to do. But I visited South Africa last year for the first time in 23 years, and I felt like a tourist, which was an interesting concept. The only time I feel something South African in me is when I hear South African music, indigenous South African music. That still does something to me. I have family there, I have cousins, so I have ties. I have numerous friends, but other than that, the ties are just if physical, not emotional.
What drew you out of South Africa to Israel?
Well, being Jewish, most of us dreamt of going to live in Israel, being idealistic and, you know, helping create the state and contributing. It helped, of course, that most of us, when I say us, I'm talking about me and my friends, knew we would never stay in South Africa under apartheid. You had to make a decision. Either you stayed in South Africa and got involved, which meant possibly going to jail, or you got out. So I had a push and a pull, and that's really why I landed up on kibbutz in Israel. Kibbutz in particular because of the social aspects of it. One of the ways you can live a quality of life where everybody is equal. I was naive, because it's not really like that, but up to a point it is.
Is there a large Jewish community in South Africa?
There was a huge Jewish community, don't ask me numbers, but it has dwindled over the years. All over the world, South Africans, the Jewish community has moved to the States, to Australia, here, you name it. And of course, a large population lives in Israel, Jewish community.
Do you feel like you were able to kind of deepen your religious beliefs when you went to Israel?
I have no religious beliefs as such. I'm just Jewish and I believe in the Jewish state. So for me, it wasn't a religious thing, but for a lot of religious Jews, the reason they go there is they feel it is God-given land. But for me, it was completely idealistic, socialistic, and had absolutely nothing to do with religion.
So you met your husband in Israel?
Well, I vaguely knew him in South Africa, but we did land up on the same kibbutz together.
So, just to go back to your hour, have you brought anybody with you today?
My husband, my children, my son and my daughter should be here. A few of my friends, perhaps a cousin or two. I've let them know. If they come, they come. They don't, they don't.
And do you, are you wanting to engage with people around the plinth as well as the people online?
Oh, yes. That's why it's visual, so that the people have some enjoyment, because they certainly wouldn't hear me if I was speaking. So I want to sort of keep them engaged in that they don't know what's coming next.
Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, thank you.